Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
Mike and I go record shopping at the mall.
And one of them ended up with a bingo hand job.
Record store day week, and we're concluding it this week with our own record shopping.
It's
right,
Friday.
Got all callers on all week. We actually have a couple more callers who called into the phone line. We're just going to play their messages, and then the three of us are going to talk about our record store day purchases. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Mike Schneider. And
Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah.
It's great. And Mike brought a growler.
Yes, he did.
And I brought an iPad to watch golf in,
yeah,
which I've been doing most of the week.
Worked out really well. Well, how about, Jim, if I go first, because then we can open the beer I got yesterday.
Okay, let's do that.
All right, let's do that first.
Speaking of beer.
Yeah, speaking of beer. So this year, as we kind of heard echoed earlier this week, there wasn't a lot that really jazzed my, you know,
private parts.
I do have a recording of the REM bootleg that is Bingo Hand Job.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a Joan Shelley album of covers that I think I can probably easily get after the fact. And so there wasn't anything where I really, really wanted to be there early. And so what I did this year, Tottenham Hotspur was playing at 7:30. So I got up and watched Tottenham Hotspur instead. And then when that was over, I rolled over to Mobius Records in Fairfax, where I haven't been for Record Store Day before. And the cool thing was they were having a beer release starting at noon. This ska band that's been around the area for a long time called the Pie Tasters were doing a record signing. And then there was three other bands that played. There was two other bands before the Pie Tasters. So they had a tent set up. They had beer, a special beer here that I want to open for you guys. It's called Out All Night. It's an IPA, Mike. And read what's in that.
Government warning. Wait, that's not the right thing. It's called Out All Night.
Yep.
India Pale Ale with strawberries and vanilla. We should have this for Wimbledon, possibly.
Yeah, it could be something
alcohol,
like that.
Alcohol 7% by volume. And I see some very familiar icons. Blue Jacket, which is one of my favorite breweries.
Yep.
It's down by the ballpark.
That's right.
Red Apron, which is part of that restaurant group, which has some very good outlets.
Yep.
And I see Pie Tasters and Mobius.
So they're all there.
There you go.
Yeah. So let's crack these open. And you guys, let me know what you think. I had one yesterday while watching the bands, so that was nice.
Cool.
Yeah. So it was a really nice day.
There's my Cleveland Browns pint glass Mike is pouring into.
And I'm interested to get Mike's take on the color of this beer once you get it in there.
Ooh.
So it's hazy.
I like the hazy.
Real
and
hazy.
It's kind of a burnt orange look.
I did bring my receipt to show you guys. This is the first year in over 5 years that I stayed under $100.
Okay, very good.
I got right there, folks, $92.18.
Very good.
So I made it under.
You did a good job.
Yep, thank you. So I picked up two Record Store Day releases. The one I really wanted to get, and luckily, I just got lucky. I was prepared to buy it afterwards if I have. Green River, Live at the Tropicana. Green River features...
Is this
features,
what you were teasing earlier?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So Mark Arm and Steve Turner of Mudhoney and Steve Amett and Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam were in this band.
Right.
They were a very early grunge band. This record was recorded in Olympia, September 28th, 1984.
Can I see that?
Includes a poster. And they were a really influential band in the Seattle scene. You know, the young Kurt Cobain and you know... Obviously, the young Eddie Vedder knew and followed Green River quite a bit, and they had that early prototype sound. And, you know, Mark Arm was a very early kind of grunge singer in Green River. And, you know, the Green River Killer is kind of what they were named after. And I'm really looking forward to listening to this set. It's completely unreleased and very early on.
1984
is when this came
way
out.
Earlier
way,
than people would think
that's
of
right,
for
yeah.
this type of music.
And they didn't put a record out until 85. So
yeah.
It really is a pretty important document.
This is cool.
It's going to be fascinating to see what that sounds like. But there you go. Two guys in Mudhoney and two guys in Pearl Jam who were key grunge bands, obviously.
That's a good pickup.
That was
there.
A really good pickup. Yeah. The other one I got, I'm really excited about. A 7-inch featuring our old friend Mike Watt. With a guy called Devin Ocampo, who's played in many DC bands, one called Faraquet, that was a Discord band that was really, really good. He played in the Medications as well. And I believe it's his wife, Renata Ocampo, plays the drums on this, and of course, bass and spiel by Watt.
Turn back. You better learn that. Better than a turn back. And I'm
What I liked best about it, I didn't even know this was coming out. Right at the bottom, Mike Watt, which is to thank Ian MacKay, both Ocampos, Mark Cisneros, both Russells, Chris Morgan Daniels, and Dante Ferrando for providing everything from that night that went into the tune for this 45. Happy 25-year birthday to the Black Cat.
Very nice. Isn't that cool?
Nice. Very good.
So 1,000 copies, limited edition, and it says Black Cat on the
back. We were just at the Black Cat the other night, the three of us, and we saw Dante.
That's right.
We did. Wonderful.
So that I was really happy to get. I'm sure both tunes are going to be great because I like the music from both those people. So I'm really excited. And then I just got some used stuff. And as I said, the used bins seem a little happier on Record Store Day. And basically, I want to really quick just tell you guys how I do used records these days. I have a couple qualifications.
Okay.
One, it needs to be under $3 and it needs to be interesting and weird or have some sort of connection, and then I'll get it. And then the other part of the used thing is if I'm trying to fill holes in my collection, then I'll go above that $3 threshold and buy something used. So
do you ever forget what records you already have?
Yes.
This happens to me all the time.
And
your record collection is much bigger than mine, so I can imagine this happens to you more frequently.
I do think I have several copies of several albums, and I'm like, I don't have this. It's only $3. I'm getting it sure. Yeah. And then you pick it up, and you're like, oh, crap, I already have one.
Yeah.
But I did find a copy of Bayou Country by Creedence for $8. That's one of the Creedence albums, the originals, that I need. So I was really happy to put that into my collection. I think I only need two more to have a complete Creedence Originals collection now, which I know I probably said you don't need anything but the singles, but
but it's so much cooler to have the actual albums.
I love them too,
because singles wise on this album you have You're Born on the Bayou, you've got Proud Mary, Good Golly Miss Molly,
that's
cover
pretty solid
too, right?
Yeah,
good,
pretty dang solid. I picked up an album by Stanley Turrentine and Milt Jackson called Cherry. I thought the cover was super freaky, and I liked that Billy Cobham was playing the drums. So that was $3. I got that. Here is Brave Combo. This is the closest thing there is to a Brave Combo greatest hits album is right there. It's called Musical Varieties. It's on Rounder Records. And
explain Brave Combo.
They're kind of a polka band from Denton, Texas, and they also play world music. So there's a lot. Like, look at the songs on there. They're just all totally freaky.
People are strange. When you're a stranger, faces look ugly. When you're alone, women seem wicked. When you're unwanted, streets are uneven. When you're down, when you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. Yeah, people are strange. When you're a stranger, faces look ugly.
Our friend Jesse Jackson is a big Brave Combo fan.
Brave Combo.
That's some so Brazilian cool. foro.
Yeah.
Nice.
They'll play almost any musical world style in polka. I picked up this Polyvinyl 4-track Single Sessions, Volume 1, for $2. I was really excited about that because they did a bunch of 4-track singles, I believe, on the Polyvinyl label. And this is sort of compiling them to the best of my knowledge, right? John Vanderslice, one of my favorite artists, is on there.
Well, okay. So correct me if I'm wrong here. Isn't the conceit on this that it's Polyvinyl artists covering other Polyvinyl artists?
Oh, that may
be
what it is. Maybe that's what it is.
For this 4-track
single
series?
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, cool.
And I believe that's on colored vinyl,
too.
This is
cool that it's compiled.
It is. And I think that's a clear vinyl. So that, for $2, I was real happy about that. Yeah. Here's a band I have no idea what they are or who they are. It was a $2 record. I don't even know what the name of it is. It could be a Reverse Age or it could be Access. I don't know what it is, but I noticed that it's 127 out of 750.
All right, so that was enough to make you
that
buy
it? That was enough for me to poke down
$2.
That's right, $2, I'm going to do it.
No, so you haven't listened to this yet.
No, I have no idea what
saying,
that's like.
I don't know what this is.
I have no clue what that is.
I'll hold that up. All right, there we go. To
here's
the video.
Here's one on UFO Dictator Records by a band called The Menthols, and it's called Michigan Works.
Very nice.
And it's also limited. Number
Very
77
nice.
Out of 400. Pick that up.
The good
up.
News is, Patrick, is this one has poetry by Percy by Shelley. So you got that going for you.
Yeah, that's right. I can't wait to hear what that sounds like. This is a, this is probably the creme de la creme of buys. It's $3. It's a band called Make Do and Mend. The album is called Don't Be Long, and it's cool. It looks original, right? It's got a gatefold, so it looks like it came out. It's on white vinyl,
which is nice.
Uh-huh. And then what really sold me on it was I looked inside, and not only did I see a picture of the guys, look at them there. They look deranged enough. Look what else was in here, Jim and Mike. A CD, a bonus CD, just like Wingtips Load. They did it before us.
I can play this.
Yeah. So that was it.
Just jokes.
Make Do and Mend. So if anybody knows about any of these bands, let me know. But I'll be listening to them and try to find
out. Obviously, you need a shopping consultant.
Yeah, that's right.
Very cool.
I had a good time. So I went in there. I dropped my $92. Then I just went outside and watched the bands and had a beer. How cool is that? Enjoyed us. It was great.
That they did a beer... You know, pairing.
Special beer release with the Pie Tasters, Mobius. That's good. So, I know a lot of places have had bands and stuff at their shops, but I don't know if anyone had a beer release. So I felt like it was a good day.
You made a good call there.
Yeah.
Place to visit.
So it all worked out well. So that was my Saturday.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So we're going to get to our picks here in just a minute. Why don't we play a voice message that somebody left.
Perfect.
About their record store day experience.
Adam Coop from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm just calling in. Record store day experience. The one big item that I was after this year was the Third Man Records 3-inch blind box. So I love Jack White. I love Third Man Records. I love everything they do. Well, they decided to put out 3-inch vinyl records this year, 3-inch singles. And they had a blind box where there were 4 3-inch singles. There was a White Stripes, a Jack White, a Raconteurs, and a Dead Weather 3-inch single in a pack together. So I wanted to guarantee I got one of those. And I know that what time I get to Guest Room Records here in Louisville, Kentucky is always a topic of conversation. This year, I outdid myself. I got there at 9:30 p.m. Friday night. Guest Room opens at 9 a.m. So got there 11 and a half hours early. Packed a sleeping bag, packed a tent, set it up right on the sidewalk out front. But what bothered me the most is that I got there at 9:30 and I ended up being the fourth person in line. Yes, 3 people showed up at 9:20, 10 minutes before I did, and got in line. A couple of friends of mine. So, it ended up being we had a really good night together, because we all knew each other. So that was great. I did end up getting the Third Man Records blind box, so it was worth it. Unfortunately, you had to purchase the 3-inch record player in order to purchase the 3-inch vinyl. So I wasn't expecting to buy the record player. I was hoping to just buy the 3-inch singles, but I actually had to end up spending a little extra money, more than I'd expected to buy the record player. Then some of the other things that I got, there was a U2 EP that I got. There was a Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. Noel Gallagher from Oasis, if you're not familiar with Noel Gallagher's solo project since the Oasis breakup, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. Definitely check it out. It's fantastic. I also got 2 Weezer albums. So the Teal album, which is an album of covers, really fun covers. And I know pretty much everybody, I'm sure, has heard the Africa cover, which is fine, but that's probably my least favorite on the album. There's a lot of really fun covers on there. They cover Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, and that's just a lot of fun. I picked up a second Weezer album. I'm a I used to say I was a big Weezer fan. I'm a big Weezer Blue Album fan. The Blue Album is one of my favorites of all time. There's not a bad song on the album. Well, they put out an album for Record Store Day called Dusty Gems and Raw Nuggets. And a few years back, they put out a deluxe edition of the Blue Album, and it included a second disc, which included a lot of B-sides and some live stuff and some rarities. And so what Dusty Gems and Raw Nuggets is that second disc from the deluxe edition, just on its own. And that second disc, oh man, it is great. It starts off with a song called Michael and Carly, which is probably my favorite Weezer song. It's such a great song, but it's about Michael and Carly, who were the presidents of their fan club, who actually died in a car accident on a way to a Weezer show. So it's sad, but such a great song, such a powerful song. A couple other things that I got the Lord Huron, The Night We Met 7-inch with Phoebe Bridgers. Looking forward to listening to that. And then also I picked up a 7-inch from a local band by Houndmouth, called California Voodoo Part 2. Looking forward to that as well. And then the last thing that I got was an REM Live album. I'm going to leave it at REM Live album. I know this is a family show. It has another name to it, but it's apparently the first time the show has ever been officially released. I want to say it was from 1992, and this is the first official release of it. But anyway, it was a really fun record store day. I got a lot of stuff. I didn't get a lot of stuff either. There's a lot of stuff that I put back. But man, I'm pumped and I'm ready to listen to this stuff. I haven't had a chance to do that yet today. But yeah, maybe I'll call back in and we can talk about some of these releases. Anyway, keep up the great work. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Cool. What a great call.
Coop.
Yeah.
That was great. I was lucky enough in October of last year to be able to go to Louisville and to Guest Room Records, and that was cool. So now I can visualize Coop sleeping on the sidewalk on that hill that runs up to Guest Room right there.
So,
but there are some good bars and restaurants right around
that
area.
There's tons of them.
You can't leave if you're in line. I gotta give props to these people that will actually stay in line.
So he's one of the overnight sleepers. There
and
you go.
And he was fourth, and he showed up 11 and a half hours early. That's nuts, man.
By the way, you can't walk 100 feet in Louisville without hitting a bar.
That's true. That's one of the awesome things about it.
It's a good town. Great pickups. Wonderful to hear from Coop. I'm glad that you got what you wanted. That's wonderful.
That's great.
It's great to hear. Yeah. And it's fascinating to me, as Mike said, that people are so excited about this that they're going to like camp out.
I know.
Now.
I love man. It just adds a whole nother element
to
it.
It's fantastic.
It's so neat.
So speaking of Mike, why don't you tell us now, Mike Snyder, what did you get for Record Store Day? And let me preface this by saying that you're not a big vinyl guy, but now things have changed a little bit in your world, right?
Okay, so I've always been a giant music fan.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think I told you guys, when I was a teenager, I got jobs just to go to shows and to buy records. I'd ride my bike to the bus stop to go get on a bus to go buy records on Tuesday, right? I had probably 1,000 records, and they were ruined in a flood.
Ah.
And then I had another 500 records that were alive. And then as I moved into DC, I had to learn to live in a small, I had to become mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got rid of most of my records. Until this week, I had about 20 records in my home.
Yep.
20 vinyl records.
20 vinyl records.
A ton of CDs.
Yeah, I have about 10,000 CDs.
Oh my God. Right.
So when my wife and I moved into our home, we downsized all our records. But as a entertainment reporter and as I cover the entertainment industry and its digitalization, and as someone who loves the idea of using digital technology to its foremost, I like to follow that and support that.
Absolutely.
I also do not like the idea of using digitalization to make our experience worse, which is what MP3, it was good for going to the gym, but you can't rely on like MP3 technology to listen to in your at your stereo or elsewhere. You know?
Right.
I mean, I want to be able to hear what the artist and the record producer or the mastering engineer, whatever you want to call it, what their vision was of this work.
Mm-hmm.
So Anyway, so Record Store Day began to trend up, and I've been covering it the last couple of years, so I did my story this year. And I tried to do this last year, but I had too much work to do. I wanted to do a first-person column on hooking up a turntable for the first time in two decades.
Wow. Oh, okay. Great.
Well, I didn't do it last year, but I had. But the turntable's been sitting in my garage for a year. I'm like, okay, I have time to do it this year. Let's do it this year. So I did it this year, and I, as part of my reporting, I was lucky enough to contact some of the record companies and say, well, send me a couple of releases, and I'll play them as part of my reporting experience. So I did get to listen to the REM, the aforementioned REM album, which I think I'd heard pieces of in other forms, but I'd never heard all of it.
Right. It was a well-circulated bootleg.
The bingo hand job.
Yeah. That's so, you're a host of the podcast, so you can say it.
I can say it. It's fine. Yeah. But the deal was that they performed under a different name, right?
That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this has been a legendary concert and now is available on
vinyl. They played a lot of stuff they didn't always play and different,
So I love vinyl, but I'm not sure I'm quite prepared to make it part of my daily existence.
Okay.
So I like have a turntable on my coffee table, and it's got like a 20-foot audio cable to the stereo, you know, and then I was texting, it's like, this thing won't work. It's skipping all the time, you know?
Right.
It's like, and it was funny, you know, Patrick had a couple, more than a couple of months ago, had bought me a couple Kansas albums, zinged up Amazon and got me a record cleaner because I hadn't had that for 20 years either. I cleaned the dust out of the wind of the Kansas albums and put those on, and it sounded great.
That's awesome.
So I tried to embrace Record Store Day to an extent. I didn't get out of bed. I didn't stay overnight. I didn't feel well enough to do that. But I felt good enough yesterday morning to go, you know, I'm going to go out and see what's going on because I wanted to put, you know, I wanted to have more fun other than just doing my story and listening to some songs. I plugged in my zip code on the Record Store Day site, and there was a record store right in Tyson's Corner, which is like 2 miles from my house.
Yeah,
and it's fairly new.
It is fairly new. So I went to the same store. I had no idea it existed.
Neither
until
did I.
I looked it up.
And they've got a DJ playing. There's not a giant line, but there's about 20 people in line for autographs. This is after noon. What did I buy there? I bought Bingo Handjob.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's all I bought there. But I was looking, and I can understand what Bud and other people mentioned earlier in the week, is you could definitely, if you know you're going to open your wallet, you could definitely spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
There was a $40 Police single on the desk.
Saw that.
And I'm like, oh, I really love the Police. And Message in the Bottle is one of my favorite songs, but do I need to own a $41 single of it with like three different versions? I mean, somehow I didn't do that.
Right.
Oh, I also bought the Prince cassette there.
Ah, yes.
But they had like two Prince albums,
mm-hmm.
and they had many of these other albums. I can't do this. I just cannot. I bought my stuff.
Dangerous.
I got my Prince album, and I got my Bingo hand job, and I left, and I was happy, just like the owner of the Patriots.
It was a happy ending.
And the good stuff happened. I'm like, you know, I really should bring some beer to the podcast later in the week. And so I said, well, and then I saw people had been to CD Cellar.
Yes.
Which is a long time place I've always gone and get used CDs.
It's a fantastic place. It really is one of the best record stores I've ever been to.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's great.
So I went over there and I had a little trade in. And I snuck in the last hour of the day. And there's a lot of activity. There's like 20 people in there.
Yeah.
And I found the Pearl Jam album, which I'd mentioned in my column, which is, I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. And I also found a copy of the Fleetwood Mac alternate. And I found a Van Morrison CD I didn't own, which is unusual.
Yeah.
So I got a good take there. And I, with my trade in, I got away with, I only spent like $20.
Wow.
I love this idea of Record Store Day, and what I think about people that are into Record Store Day really are music purists.
Yeah.
I just kind of wonder what's going to happen over the next 10 years as, you know, those of us that are, you know, that are mobile and go out and buy records become less mobile.
Yeah.
I'm 56. I mean, I'm going to hopefully be mobile in 10 years.
Let's hope so.
And hopefully there'll still be, you know, music stores to go to. But I just really feel that the streaming world makes it so easy for us not to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I had a very good, this is probably my most active record store day I've had over the 10 years it's been, or 12 years it's been going. I got to participate on a professional level and a personal level. I loved it.
So, okay, we got to move along here. Should we hear a great pickups, by the way?
Fantastic stuff from Mike. Yeah.
From Mike, yes. Mike, who is just now getting back into the analog world. This is wonderful to hear.
Welcome
this is
back.
Wonderful to hear. So, all right. We have another call here from Mark Neese.
All right, Mark Neese.
Hey, guys. This is Mark Neese calling from Okemos and just calling to talk briefly about my record store day. I did not wait in line for a very long time. I went over to a place called the Record Lounge in Lansing, downtown Lansing. Went over there only about a half hour before they opened. And the line wasn't really that bad. It was a fairly nice day. It was actually sunny, which is a rarity around these parts this time of year. So people were in pretty good mood. I guess I was a little worried that I wasn't going to find some of the things that I wanted on my list. But it turned out pretty good. I got Mission of Burma, Peking Spring LP, and Blind Willie McTell, Statesboro Blues, 78 RPM. Which I didn't realize was 78 RPM until I brought it home and found out that it didn't play properly on my turntable. So I have a nice little conversation piece in my record collection. And that's about it. It was a nice day. I've been a little ambivalent about Record Store Day in the past because it seems like a bit of a commercialist, consumerist feeding frenzy. But I had a pretty good time, and everyone seemed to be in a good mood. It was positive. Look forward to the next one next year. That's it. Talk to you later. Bye.
We got mama, turn your lamp down low. We got mama, turn your lamp down low. Have you got the nerve to drive Papa Mactel from your door? My mother, daddy left me reckless. My daddy left me wild. Mother, daddy left me reckless. Daddy left me wild. No, I'm not good looking, but I'm some sweet woman's angel child. She's a mighty mean woman. Do me this away. She's a mighty mean woman. Do me this away. When I leave this town, pretty mama, I'm gonna wait to stay. Quite a lovely woman, better than anyone I'd ever seen.
Cool, thanks, Mark.
I'm so glad Mark could call in because he was going to call in on the Google Hangout that we had earlier in the week,
mm-hmm.
and he was having trouble connecting, so I said, just call and leave a message, and he did that,
fantastic.
And so that worked out great.
That's great, yeah.
But the
awesome.
78 thing, so talk about that. So 78s, back in the way
that's
early
right.
days.
20s and 30s.
That was the only format for records, right? I mean,
that's
that
right.
was, was that the original format?
That was the original 70 format.
70 speed mm-hmm. and
You'd
78 speed.
One song
on
in each side. Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
And they were
often
very
hand cranked.
Brittle,
mm-hmm. They were shellac right? for the most part.
Yes.
It was before the use of vinyl, and oftentimes the player would be hand cranked, so you'd crank it once and that'd be enough to play one whole, 2 minute or 2.5 minute song on the 78, then you'd turn it over and crank it again in many cases.
And I was thinking about this too. If you had that in your home back then, that must have been like a jewel in your house.
Absolutely.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You know, to yep. have this music player or audio equipment, right? It must have been just amazing. Like everybody had to treat that with like
yeah.
some real reverence, right? That you had this in your house.
And you know, as Mike said, all the way up into the late 70s, early 80s, when you bought a console stereo or a
right.
turntable, it did have a
it
78
still had
switch.
The 78.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I remember the early ones even had a 16 RPM, which was
right.
a really weird chapter in music history. And I remember reading a biography of the band and
they used to play with Ronnie Hawkins as Ronnie Hawkins and the Hawks, and they played kind of an amphetamine charged, and you know, amphetamines were Ronnie's drug, and the band started getting into marijuana. And one time he walked in on them listening to a Johnny Cash record at 16 RPM, and they didn't realize it was at 16 RPM. That's when he said, "You guys are fired."
Because obviously there's going to be some onstage problems.
He told them not to smoke any marijuana, and then they were just jamming out to this Johnny Cash at 16 RPM, whose voice is low enough. I can't imagine what it would have sounded like.
That recording had to hurt.
So it's funny that somebody's still doing something at 78, right?
Yeah, I saw those records, and there was also a Robert Johnson record, Terraplane Blues, I think, that was there that they reissued on 78. So that was kind of cool.
All I will tell you is one time, this has been several years, but it's a great store if anybody can go there. It's called House of Guitars in Rochester, New York. It's an amazing music store, first off, but then you go into the back, and it's an enormous record store back there. So many used records that you can tell they have not done like any kind of inventory in many, many years, because it's just like stuff everywhere.
Wow,
like
yeah.
it's kind of disorganized, but yet that's like great if you're like a crate digger, right? But they have a whole section of 78s.
Wow, that's incredible. Like, do they really?
It's
wow.
unbelievable. Wow. They have a whole wall of cassettes. It's an amazing place. If you're ever in Rochester, New York, go to House of Guitars. But anyway, what I was going to say here is that here we are back to essentially the same format that's been around for decades.
That's right.
All right, let me get to my record store day. So here's my record store day experience. I did not get up early. I did not wait in line. I didn't go the night before. In fact, the morning when I did wake up, and I'm generally about a 8 to 9 a.m. sleeper on the weekends, like sleeping a little bit more than I do on the weekdays, but not so much.
Not a whole much.
Lost the whole day or anything like that. So I was like, I'm not going to like bust it. I'm going to wait. Maybe the lines will die down. Then I'll go in and see what's left, right? So I went to Records and Rarities in Tyson's Corner Center. I was intrigued by the fact, I did not know this existed until I did a little research. Mm-hmm. I was intrigued by the fact that there was a record store in the mall.
No kidding.
Like, I thought that was gone. I thought that was long gone. I thought to the extent that record stores existed now, you needed to be in a low rent a space and you know, be able to make that work financially. So the idea that like a new record store had opened in this major mall intrigued me. So I wanted to go check that out. Now, I will say this. I got there about 1 o'clock. So I think I just missed you.
Yep.
Right?
Must have.
I was really intrigued by the store. So it's a combination record store is about half of the floor space. The other half is video games, like used video games for sale.
Oh.
And also like they had like
giant arcade games. Kids were playing arcade games.
Really?
There.
That
you could
makes
play for
sense.
Like 50 cents a play if you have to have quarters on you, which I never do.
Yeah. Nobody has quarters.
Right. But they had several different arcade games.
That's cool.
Like, you know, Donkey Kong and what have you.
Yeah.
And you could play that. They had old video games for sale, even going back to Atari, which my other podcast, I'll talk about classic video games. It's another passion of mine.
And they had comic books.
But not new comic books. I think they were all used ones. Like they had like a rack of comic books, but not like so much like if you go to a comic book store that like takes up a huge amount of space with like all the new releases. And then they had a skateboard shop in there too.
And they had a lot of what they call man dolls. They had a lot of toys. Mm. You know,
that stuff too. Yeah. The action figures and what have you.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting place.
So they're trying to maximize what they can get in the mall.
Yeah.
It's right next to Lord and Taylor.
And there's a little stand-up coffee thing outside too.
That's
so
weird.
So funny, man.
But getting back to records, I saw the 3-inch record thing. I didn't buy that. I saw the Prince cassette. I had in my hand. I almost bought that. I didn't. I flipped through the Record Store Day releases. Everything, there were some things that intrigued me, but everything seemed just too expensive because I'm kind of cheap when it comes to records.
They were very expensive.
So then I went to the used record bin, and that's all I bought. And I got in. They were offering 10% off all used records on Record Store Day. So I just bought all used records, and I got in. I got out under $20 with 1, 2, 3, 6 records.
That's impressive.
Would you like to see what I got?
Absolutely.
I mentioned earlier in the week, I got the suburbs.
Yeah. Got the suburbs.
Used records that they had at Records and Rarities either fell into like the category bins or the like discount bins.
Oh, okay.
I went to the discount bins.
Okay.
And the funny thing was almost everything in the discount bins was country music.
Oh, really?
So they're trying to unload their country music. So if you're a country fan, Go to Tyson's.
You like Charlie Pride or Charlie Rich? There's lots of Charlies there.
Tons of stuff like that. But it was all mixed in, so I know I wasn't just in the country section because I got like a suburbs. They also had the Motors, which I almost bought, but it was in really bad shape. So there was a lot of other stuff mixed in there, but it was probably, honestly, about 80% country records. So I got a lot of good country records. Okay. So here we go. I got the best of Buck Owens.
Nice. Right love there. That. Look at that haircut, man. That's fantastic.
Oh, well, I'll give you love that's above and beyond the call of love. And I'll never, ever make you cry. Yes, I'll give you love that's above and beyond the call of love. And love's something that money can't buy. Well, a poor boy's chances for a pretty girl's glances are sometimes very few. Though I've got no money, if you'll be my honey, here's what I'll offer you. Well, I'll give you love that's above and beyond the call of love. And I'll never ever make you cry. Yes, I'll give you love that's above and beyond the call of love. And love's something that money can't buy.
As people know, we love Buck Owens.
Yes,
on
we
the show.
Do.
Because right. You act naturally.
That's right.
This I could not pass up at all because this just reeked to me of record company trying to cash in, but yet it might be really good. Bobby Gentry and Glenn Campbell.
Nice.
Obviously,
oh, look at that. That's
they're
fantastic.
Obviously together, right?
That's one of the greatest album covers you'll ever see.
So obviously, right?
I love the way they split Glenn's name around his head on the
yes.
front. That's fantastic.
Yes. But
and that sweater.
Doesn't it say something like the biggest stars of... Oh, yeah, here we go.
Talents
the two
of
talents
the
of the year join in a program of duets that are
programming.
Wow.
Programming. Program with an M-E.
I got here for $1.98 something called a bushel of five-string banjos.
Oh, that looks good.
Yeah.
Foggy Mountain Breakdown.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We got to call up Mandolin Orange
Lester
about this.
Flatt and Earl Scruggs. Flatt yep. and Scruggs, right?
Stanley Brothers.
Denver yeah. Duke and Jeffrey Null. Never heard
look
of
look at how poorly this album
never,
cover is put
it's
together.
Like,
hey, yeah. Jasper, here's a banjo. Can you take it out and take some pictures of it in the woods?
Like yeah. nine profiles of a banjo.
Right. All right, here we go. Two of a Kind. Porter Wagner and Dolly Parton.
Oh, that's
Porter
a beautiful
Wagner.
Album.
How can
I have
that not be bad?
That's a great album.
So that we on the RCA Victor label.
That's a crash.
And then in
classic,
the dollar
man.
Bin, they had a dollar bin
oh,
also.
Fantastic.
I got All Star Hootenanny.
Ah.
Bob Dylan.
This is obviously a album that's meant to cash in on sort of like the early 60s
yeah,
folk
scene, jams.
Right?
Because mm-hmm.
it's got Bob Dylan, but yet the new Christy Minstrels,
nice.
Pete Seeger, Flatt and Scruggs again.
With Mother Maybelle Carter from the Carter
yeah,
family.
Yeah,
that's
how
awesome.
Cool is that? You know, many of the other.
Then,
Johnny Cash has a 9-pound hammer.
Oriel Smith.
Yeah, right.
That
so
looks
it's a little
great.
Bit,
and a book on the back. It's
yeah,
awesome.
I know. The liner notes on some of these older records are incredible with all
look at
that,
that
text.
On the yeah. Columbia Records, yeah.
That's
so
a lot of reading.
It's a little bit of a mashup of artists that you wouldn't necessarily put together, but in that time, I guess it made sense, right?
And the first line is, don't play this album softly.
Yeah, turn it up. It's folk.
So there you go. For under
turn it up to 10.5.
That's right. A hot new thing.
That's right. For under $20, that's what I got.
That's fantastic, that's good job. Jim. This is a great haul, man.
Okay.
Great haul.
So then the
love
other
it.
Thing I want to share with you guys real quick. This is not from Record Store Day, but
okay.
I want to get your opinion on this. I may have been ripped off or I may have gotten a great find.
Okay.
I don't know what it was. But
okay.
a week ago before Record Store Day or maybe 2 weeks, I was down in Richmond visiting my daughter at VCU.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Plan 9 Records, mm-hmm. which is a fantastic store, and I was going through all the used record bins, and I found this Beatles Yesterday and Today,
yeah.
which was a U.S. release
yeah.
of the Beatles from 64,
yeah.
I want to say.
That's right. It was right before the Beatles records came in sync on both sides of the Atlantic. They were putting some singles that hadn't been together along with a couple other tracks
right.
here and there, right?
This was a U.S.-only release.
U.S.-only, right. It has Act Naturally, the Buck Owens cover.
But this is famous for being the Baby Butcher
that's right.
cover.
Right. This
right?
is the one that this is the what they ended up putting out.
And so thing. I found this in the used record bin.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that there is a decal.
Wow,
can
Jim,
you see that right
you
there?
You might have found something here.
So underneath.
Over the cover. So I think underneath this might be the Baby Butcher cover.
Might
am
have,
I right?
You might have something really valuable on your hands there.
I got it for $20.
We're gonna do some research on that. How's the vinyl?
I didn't even actually okay. look at it. I was more concerned
you don't,
about
you
the
just
cover.
Look at the case. So this
yeah. So don't you think that's
yeah, it looks like
because
it.
Then later when they reprinted the album,
looks pretty good.
They
I
just
don't
did
see
it on the cover
it.
That's right.
itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without the decal.
Looks pretty good, dude. I'm not sure this has been played. It just has like static
oh, yeah,
stuff.
That looks really clean.
All right, so I may have something here.
Yeah, we may have to take this to a professional.
This may be like Indiana Jones material.
Well, I'm sure online there's somewhere there's some identifying marks, but we have to check this out.
Okay.
Why don't I take it, and what I'll do is investigate it for you.
I'll take it for you. I'm a reporter. I'll take it.
All right, the other thing
Let us handle it from here, Jim, and we'll bring that back to you when we find out
more. We'll get it back to you safely.
Yeah. All right, so I got that.
Well, we will report back to you folks later on this one.
All right. All right. Good stuff. So good record store day for all.
Great
week. Look forward to the next one.
But thanks, everyone.
In the interim, I'm sure we'll buy many more records.
Yeah.
Next week, we have some fan mail coming up.
That's right.
And we have our live event.
I can't wait.
With Don Zentara.
It's going to be so exciting.
Yeah.
It really is going to be cool.
Yeah. Yep. So you want to hear that? It's Rockin' the Suburbs. We're going to dispense with all the other formalities.
Yeah.
A great afternoon out on the deck. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Mike Schneider.
Thanks,
thank you, Mike.
Talk to you guys next week.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. No matter how many records I buy, I can't fill this void. And no matter how I try, calm down, I can't help but feel annoyed. I won't.
By the way, Phil DeGracia one time came home to our house when I lived with Phil, and there was an answering machine message from Glenn Campbell.
No, that's right.
He was very surprised.
Wow.